From the Colleen Barrett Historical Wing. Well, it's really more of a fuselage. You're listening to Red Belly Radio. Hello and thank you for listening to Red Belly Radio. I'm Steve Heaser. Now, for those of you who don't know who Colleen Barrett is, well, you're really missing something special. She is our president emeritus, and when she was the president of Southwest Airlines, she was the highest-ranked woman in the airline industry. But she started out typing bills of lading for a trucking company in Vermont. No, really. If you listened to Red Belly Radio last week, you heard Herb Kelleher on our history, so it's only fair to allow Colleen her time. This is part one of multiple podcasts where Colleen answers questions about the early days of this great airline, her life, and philosophies. The other voices you'll hear asking questions are from Brian Lusk and Brad Hawkins. The first question posed was about Colleen's first job.
I actually started working when I was, well, besides being a babysitter from eighth grade on up, I started working. My first official job was working at a paper company in the thriving metropolis of Bellows Falls, Vermont. And I typed bills of ladings for truck drivers. That was my first job, and I did it afternoons from 3 to 5 and Saturday mornings from 8 to noon. And then, in addition to doing that, when I was a senior in high school, I started working afternoons and weekends for a lawyer in my little hometown. Never had spare time. Matter of fact, when I was a senior in high school, being the pragmatic person that I am, I realized that I couldn't afford to go to a four-year school. So my plans for a four-year liberal arts education were kind of out the window. I was going to get married as soon as I could. So I decided to go to a two-year school and learn to be a legal secretary. And when I made that decision, I had taken all college courses, and I had never taken any business courses. So my senior year in high school, I literally had a class every period, including study hall and lunch, no time for lunch. And the principal told me I couldn't do that. And I said, well, I have to do it because I have to have the business classes. So I did that my senior year in high school.
Which also set the tone for the next few decades.
What attracted you about the legal? Sounds like you knew early that that's what you wanted to be.
You know, I had a uncle that was a lawyer, and he was a great storyteller. And I used to listen to his stories with great, you know, enjoyment, because he was a cigar-smoking, you know, might have tipped his wrist a bit or two, and he had great stories. So I was fascinated with all that. So at one time, I thought I'd go to law school. But then I realized that there's no way in hell I could go to law school because I couldn't afford it. I probably couldn't pass either. So I decided to become the next best thing.
Is that where the listening started?
Because I think it probably is.
Because at the root of everything that has been successful about you is the way you listen.
Yeah. Well, he just made it sound like fun. Everything was dramatic, you know, and I am really an overachiever, have been all my life. And so what I liked was the idea that, you know, lawyers in particular could find it. Their biggest challenge was to solve a problem. And I kind of thought of myself as a firefighter, so I thought I'd be a great lawyer. Probably would have been a terrible one, but anyway.
I know you've told us a lot of times about organizing Herb's office. Where did your own sense of how to organize things come from?
Well, it came literally from my 2 years at Becker Junior College. It was a junior college then. It's a four-year school now, happy to say. And I literally, because that was all brand new to me, so I learned filing, and I was pretty systematic in my approach to things because it was the only way I could get everything done I wanted to get done. But literally, the filing and all of that was just like a big game to me. It was like a big puzzle. And so that's what got me there. I wish I could say I was as good today as I was back then.
So as a customer server, is that an intuitive process? Can you teach someone how to be a good customer server?
I think you can teach, I think you can learn to be, you can develop customer service delivery. I think that instinctively and intuitively, though, you probably want to at least be what we now call servant leader. I think I was born to serve others and to serve causes. And I think that is probably based upon the values that you're raised with and the values that you learn by observing. And I've always observed people's behavior, good and bad and in the middle. I think you can learn from all of those, you know, the good to the bad and in the middle. And you can, if you're, you know, if you really think about it, and I'm a real thinker, I study a lot. So if you really study those things and you try to perfect the things that you see as good traits, I think you can become much, much better. Then if you read, and I'm quite a reader when it comes to my passion, which is customer service, then I think that you can learn a whole lot. I don't think you can, I think you have to have the right personality, attitude, demeanor, and behavior to be good in terms of dealing with constant customer service delivery. And I think the easiest thing for me about the whole scenario, and I have tried, in to the extent that I can teach others, I have tried to teach this, and I don't understand why other organizations and companies don't get it. But if you deliver the same kind of customer service internally as you deliver externally, then there is no, it's not rocket science. And people try to make it so complicated. So if you basically just follow the golden rule, you know I sound like a broken record, but if you just basically treat people the way you want to be treated, you treat them with respect, you listen, you're polite, you say please and thank you. I mean, you smile once in a while. You're warm about it. You're affable. You know, life just is too short to live in any other way, really. And I'm not saying that you're perfect if you do those things. I'm not saying, but if you just consciously think about how do I like to be treated, I tell all our new hires this, you know, what restaurants do you go back to? What dry cleaning establishments do you go to? What movie theaters do you go to? You go where you feel like they appreciate your business. Where do you not go back to? You don't go back to people, to places that treat you like they could care less whether you're there in the first place. And, you know, it's pretty darn simple. And if you just consciously think about that, I'm rating people's customer service that probably don't even think they're in the customer service business every day of my life. I do it all the time. Now, it doesn't mean I sit down and write a great letter on how great they are, although I do do that a lot. And it also doesn't mean that I write a bad letter. I very seldom write a complaint letter. But I don't take my business back to that place that hasn't treated me with respect.
Well, that does it for this episode. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2010. The captain has indicated that we have come to the conclusion of this podcast. Please turn off and stow all portable electronic devices.